force a third option into everything that feels like kind of binary. Like, is this really our only two options, like, for raising money? Statistically, the best thing we ever did at Mud was we said, okay, who are our best customers and what are they asking for? And so we went from a 30 serving tin to a 90 serving bag as an offer. And then we gave them a discount to buy all that upfront for the year. That was the best form of financing that we've ever done because it didn't cost us anything. We got the cash flow upfront from our customers that were our best customers. To just kind of give you a tactical way to force a third option here, it's like looking granularly at your data for who your best customers are and then asking them, what's it going to take for you to spend $5,000 with me today, is a form of financing.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and today we're coming to you with a special episode. I want to share with you a little bit from last week's first ever Bitcoin for Business Roundtable. Paul DeJoe was our guest. He is the co-founder of Mudwater, and he's also behind Casey Cattle's recent Bitcoin adoption that went viral on Twitter. We had about 20 people show up for this first roundtable. We'd love to see it grow, but I wanted to share with you a little bit from that conversation. We went for over an hour, and I'm planning to share the full conversation in the future, but wanted to whet your appetite with a little bit of it today. If you want access to the full conversation, reach out to me and I'll let you know when it's live. Just a heads up so you don't feel like it's a bait and switch. I am planning on making this be a pay what you will, pay what you're willing to get access to it. But mainly this is because I'm really trying to incentivize people to show up in person to these roundtables because I think it's so much more valuable when you can be there and when you can ask questions. You may be like me where if possible, you just prefer to watch the replay on 2 or 2.5 times speed to save time. But there's a certain element of being there and being able to actually interact with the people in the room that's really valuable. That said, I hope you enjoy these portions of the conversation. And we're going to get to it right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. This is a hot start here to our roundtable number one, but welcome everyone. Thank you for showing up. There were a lot of people who weren't able to join today, but I think in future calls we'll have people on. I'm looking forward to just kind of growing up. I mean, it's not necessarily a community, but just basically getting together with other business owners, people who are entrepreneurially minded and kind of sharing about how we are and how other people are, you know, using Bitcoin in their business. Maybe Michael, if I could turn it over to you real quick, just as a, for a quick intro to Paul, since you know him personally and you're the one that kind of connected us for this call today.
Sure. Yeah. So I first met Paul in Austin. I don't know when this was, like October or during Ben Jessman's, Ben Jessman had a wine event, the Peony Lane. And I met Paul there. And Paul, you ended up just buying out all of his wine and like, hey, everybody take the wine. Like that was super nice. That was my first experience with Paul. Yeah. You're the co-founder of Mudwater, which, is maybe not quite a household, but pretty close. Like I had heard of it and I've never had it. So, it's a big brand and, I've seen estimates. I guess you're the person to ask here. I've seen $100 million brand or $400 million. I don't know what numbers I've seen and what's accurate or what's not, but you've done an incredible job building out and scaling that. And you're also, a Bitcoiner and, you've recently been, investor and partner with KC Cattle.
Yeah.
And you've kind of gone viral recently by just kind of letting all your Bitcoin stuff hang out and leading the charge on that. And you've done a great job there.
Thanks, man.
So that's Paul. That's Paul for me.
All right. So basically the call today is learning from Paul, what he's done, what's worked in Mudwater, how maybe even some things that he could share with us from takeaways from his work with Casey Cattle. And then I want a good chunk of this to also be some question and answer time and or just people sharing what's worked for them. Because I think everyone here is relatively accomplish when it comes to some sort of Bitcoin entrepreneurial endeavor. Paula, maybe just to kick off, if you could share with us a little bit about, I think, like Michael said, all of us, most of us probably know Mudwater. And as an e-commerce brand, you guys blew up. What are some of the things that you think are relevant for Bitcoin entrepreneurs, people who are business owners who want to accept Bitcoin and use Bitcoin in their businesses, takeaways they can learn from what you guys did at Mudwater?
Sure. And thanks for having me, John. Great to see you again, man. I saw you at that event. And just quickly on that event, I think I went down there because I had been following Ben and I was new, you know, the e-commerce space for Bitcoin was like, I mean, I couldn't really find a lot of brands there. And I was like, all right, I have to go down there and see if this is real or not. And if Ben's like actually going to accept Bitcoin. And when he did, he was, you know, great guy. It was like, he has to win. Like these brands that are embracing this, like I have to do my part in helping these brands win. I genuinely love being around Bitcoiners. I think we have an initiative here that's a purpose-driven initiative to actually just use it in circular economies and really not give up on it. And so I think that's a good segue into Mudwater. Like the company itself was not like Shane, my co-founder, was like, well, I trust you. Like you're a nerd for this stuff. And if you want to do it, like let's do it. I did a lot of presentations for some investors that, you know, they were like, what's up with this? And I'm like, I'm glad you asked. This is not something I'm doing like speculatively. I've done a lot of work on this. Here's why we need to do it. And it was showing that inflation is going to head out of control. Our purchasing power is going to get decimated. Not only are we going to lose the purchasing power of the cash we have, but if we don't put some into this other, you know, coffer, which is Bitcoin, we're going to miss out on some upside. And not only that, we can borrow against Bitcoin, like using services like Ledin or Unchained. So I bought it for the company and it wasn't like everybody was excited. And it's a lot of the reason we don't advertise it as well as a company, and we should. And I'm actually not day-to-day there anymore. So I'm not even sure if they've sold it or not. Anyway, I think that concludes the topic of MUD and Bitcoin. I'm happy to field any other questions or follow-ups on that.
So a few questions, and then I do want to open it up and then, you know, probably about 10 or 15 minutes, just have a conversation back and forth. But first of all, I didn't even know that Mudwater owned Bitcoin. So this is like the first time I'm even hearing about that side of things, which is super cool. And I certainly hope that they've held on to it. And last question before we open it up, that's with KC Cattle. What are some takeaways that are relevant for those present here today as far as using Bitcoin for marketing, kind of raising awareness, things like that?
Yeah. So if I transition from the pitch I made for Mudwater to buy it to KC, I'm basically just using Jeff Booth's comment, which I think it's really hard to beat. It's like, if you denominate in fiat, your costs go up forever. If you denominate in Bitcoin, your costs go down forever. And you can show the data. The thing that I think got Pat over the hump was he was just receptive to like hearing it out, which is something that not a lot of people, you can say that about a lot of people. They're just immediately, they're regurgitating something that's unoriginal, or they're terrified to talk about money or something. He's just not like that kind of guy. Two other things happened. I kind of showed him that like Bitcoiners are so evangelical in terms of retention that the hardest thing you have in CPG or consumer packaged goods is retention. And it's just impossible to change. And then customer acquisition is also expensive too. And it's like, you know, it was kind of a turnaround situation. I was like, Pat, like we're not going to make it anyway. So it's kind of worth seeing if you want to appeal to the Bitcoiner community. And they're very much bullish on beef and meat as well. These are people that will help you research and kind of like help our cause here, which is like showing that farmers are getting squeezed everywhere. And that's why these prices are going up. Like these are the kinds of people in the community that will help you do the work and kind of expose this. And he was like, all right, man, like I believe in you. And without fail, Bitcoin, we said we have Bitcoiners. We went from like 100, like I think it was like 1100 followers to like 7,000 followers on Twitter overnight. We had a video that got like a million views that was featured on some other person's podcast, and we had a bunch of new customers. And then not only that, we were on Noster and we were getting these messages from people that are like, hey, I want to buy in Bitcoin. And I was like, I might have not thought through this completely. And luckily Zaprite was great. And the Bitcoiners were super patient, and we got through a lot of like, not even bugs, just like weird, like copy expectation things. And it was like, this community is so rad. They will like, they're not going to go complain about stuff online. They're going to literally help you get more customers and help you with your experience and give you feedback. And they get it. Like the Bitcoiners, like they've had to like wave their hand and say, hey, this whole money thing, that everybody's afraid to talk about it. Not only am I not afraid to talk about it, but I'm going to tell you, I didn't really know much about it. Like that's an insane amount of humility in a huge community that's looking for places where they're celebrated, and they will pay you back in spades. And we saw that, right? Like overnight, it was crazy.
Any questions that you guys have, either from what Paul's shared so far, or just things that you'd like to ask him, get feedback from the group on, connected to the topic primarily of e-commerce and using Bitcoin as a bit of a marketing or awareness raising tool. But obviously we can go into some other areas as well. I could ask questions for days, but I don't want to dominate this conversation at all.
Well, I would piggyback on that of just the basic question of when you're marketing, then are you, how much of the messaging is for Bitcoin and versus how much of the messaging is for your product? And like, what is that ratio of what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, that is a great question. I'd answer it by saying it's something that I was trying to figure out as I went. And I'm not like, I completed my contract with KC, and it was like definitely the Bitcoiners like helped there. It looked like when we announced that we were accepting Bitcoin, all of our new followers were Bitcoiners, all of our new customers were Bitcoiners. So it was like, okay, clearly we should maybe think, I think if you had forced me at the time, I would have probably said like, okay, it seems like our ratio of Bitcoiner to like we sell beef comments should be like 7 or 8 to 1, because it's very clear that we sell beef. We don't really need to like speak too much other than that. And let's see how much traction we can get and how much growth we can get by sticking on our like Bitcoin topics and threads. And I felt pretty confident like in the work I've done that I could stand up to people saying, you're going to accept crypto, or, you know, why we're doing it. And so it felt like I could probably riff on that for days, and that we didn't really need to talk about the product as much, because our newer customers were like, they're still like on the fence. And it seemed like the more we were speaking to credible pieces about Bitcoin, the more we were getting people that are like, okay, these guys are legit. Like they're not just doing this for marketing. It's a good question. I think that would evolve over time, like once we kind of peaked at Bitcoiner followers on Twitter or something like that.
So I found myself leaning more and more into marketing to Bitcoiners, just like scaling, almost like scaling down my expectation for the business and being like, just focusing on them and keeping things a bit more lean. As opposed to just growth and trying to expand to other audiences. I guess I'm curious on like looking forward, the future of like reaching Bitcoiners. Like I'm trying to think of ways, because I have a split message where I'm talking to non-Bitcoiners and Bitcoiners currently, and I'm trying to nail down to just Bitcoiners more so. But what are ways to like reach them and think of like traditional e-commerce strategies just towards Bitcoiners? Because where are they, like outside of Twitter?
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
So I think first thing I'd say is Gresham's Law is a real thing, right? Like I buy your wine because I want to support you and show that the circular economy works. But I'd rather, if I didn't know you or like didn't want to prove that point, I for sure would not be sending Bitcoin. And we saw that a little bit with Casey, is like the same thing. People are like, I want to show my support, I'm going to buy it in Bitcoin. But as soon as I've done that to prove this works, I probably don't want to do that much more. So I think that the kind of an intelligent way to think about the Venn diagram of Bitcoiners, the right Venn diagram, is like the principles that acquire Bitcoiners are kind of the same types of principles you have with your wine. Is like very transparent. We're going to do what we say. And I think like, it's not so much that it's the medium of exchange that you need to like narrow in on, or it's like, I don't think you really have to accept Bitcoin. I think it's like, because of the Gresham's Law thing and expectations will be hard to like keep getting Bitcoiners to pay you in Bitcoin. I think the Venn diagram you want to think about is like, what part of our brand is appealing to Bitcoiners? Okay. And then what part of our brand will appeal to eventual Bitcoiners or other people that have the same types of like values, but they're just not Bitcoiners yet. So I think it's more focusing on like creating a, like what your brand is not and what your brand is, and repeating that type of message and not really framing it as like Bitcoiners versus everyone else, but like, what are the values that Bitcoiners see in you? And where are those other, where are those people that are not yet Bitcoiners that have those same values? Let me try to like get you to something more tactical. There's people that have the same values of you, of your brand and Bitcoin, that are not on, that don't have Bitcoin and that don't have Twitter. And so my strategy would be like, okay, let's find those channels. Where are people that have like very high integrity values talking and looking, and what are they reading? We had a lot of success advertising on Farnham Street's newsletter for Mudwater, for example. That was something that was like, not only did we get like a ton of traction there, but those were our highest valued customers. They retained the longest. And it was because those people were, they're like biohack. They're like, they're just always looking for an edge. They're people that are constantly reading, constantly working. And prior to Farnham Street, we were spending an insane amount of money on Instagram ads. We were spending like $5 million a month on Instagram ads. Okay. And it was working. And so we looked for other channels where it was like, who else? Okay. We've exhausted Instagram. Like, where do we go now? And how do we think about who we need to go after? It's like people that are really into performance, people that are going to work hard, people that are like looking for sleep hacks. The Whole 30, for example, might be a great opportunity, right? We, that was something that kind of catapulted our business too. We got featured by them without paying them. They were just like, hey, this is great. So that's another channel of the people that have the same values as Bitcoiners.
I come from the medical community, and it's extremely common to, I treat the world, right? And so it's very obvious, right, that whether you're a chiropractor, PT, medical doctor, it doesn't matter. Like the people who pick two things to market towards, like they grow the big offices and they're super happy and mm-hmm. their doors are filled. And all of the medical practices of like, oh, if you have a heart and you breathe, we can treat you. Like it's, yeah, it's very, very clear and obvious in the medical industry, that type of channel marketing.
Great, great point, Dave. It's like, what are we definitely not doing? And then the people that try to do everything are just like, you're toast. You're, it's just really hard to be exceptional at more than one thing.
Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth, wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners.
Yeah, just on the topic of funding, my question is about selling Bitcoin to fund business in a way that's like talking more 6 months to a year out. So it's a little bit of speculation on price is my question. But you're talking about cheap funding companies with cheap money disappearing, companies with more expensive money surviving, and then those of us with like earned. You could say selling Bitcoin is like the most expensive way to fund a business because you're selling Bitcoin. Yeah. But as far as like thinking about a business, wanting to keep the business surviving, this is the avenue for gained so much over the last few years of price. I don't know. Just how do you think about selling Bitcoin as like a smaller business, wanting to survive, but also kind of knowing that you're realistically maybe not going to see that. It's not really a good financial decision. It's more of a keep the business going, but it's probably not going to pay back in terms of Bitcoin.
Yeah. I would first frame it by saying, like, are these really our only options? Like, this is a great lesson from Farnham Street too, is like force a third option into everything that feels like kind of binary. Like, is this really our only two options like for raising money? And so I think there's just really smart ways to get money from customers. There's really smart ways to, like, I think, you know, one of the best things that actually statistically the best thing we ever did at MUD was we said, okay, who are our best customers and what are they asking for? And so we went from a 30 serving tin to a 90 serving bag as an offer. And then we gave them a discount to buy all that upfront for the year. That was the best form of financing that we've ever done because it didn't cost us anything. We got the cash flow up front from our customers that were our best customers. And so like, there's just really, you know, to just kind of give you a tactical way to force a third option here. It's like looking granularly at your data for who your best customers are and then asking them, you know, what's it going to take for you to spend $5,000 with me today is a form of financing. And so that's something I would do. Now, just assuming that you've already done that back into your, you know, the I think the sentiment of the question, like, do you sell Bitcoin to keep the company going? That's a really tough one for me because I'm almost always like wanting to get down to, you know, brass tacks on like, if we're at that stage, like something else needs to change here. Like we have to look at our COGS. We have to look at something like maybe our prices are just too low. Piece of advice I got from a friend who's a multi-billionaire from running three different successful marketplace companies was like, he came up to me when he was advising one of my SaaS companies, like, raise your price, raise your price, raise your price. And he's like, we raised our price 9 times at this company. And people thought we got an award for the most innovative company in the world or something like that. It's like, all he did was raise our prices. And it's not meant to sound like you're gouging your customers. It's like your best customers, they don't care. They'd rather you be alive. They'd rather like you be like surviving and thriving and continue to work and they can afford it. So that's another option. In terms of, I'm not avoiding this question. I started a Bitcoin company and had to pivot it 3 times because I couldn't make money from it. I've chatted with Jeff Booth about it. I've chatted with other people about it. I'm like, why do I invest anything? Why would I ever liquidate any of my Bitcoin and invest in anything if I think that this thing is going to do what it's going to do? My personal approach is like, something else is wrong before you have to sell your Bitcoin. Like, if it's a passion project, which it may be, like, for you, like, it's literally your family business, like, maybe that's more valuable than the Bitcoin, right? Is like that there are things that are more valuable than Bitcoin, and like that's just a decision I'd have to just kind of put back to you is like, dude, if you came to me and you were like, hey, there's a lot of people that are like, I bought a house. Like, I don't care. My family's safe. Like, of course I sold my Bitcoin. I love that. Like, it's kind of similar. I think the right framing for you is like, that's a very, really purposeful business. And it's not like a finance thing. It's like, I need to do this because I need to keep this thing going. That would be where it does make sense to me, even if on a empirical level, it's like you lost the thing that was going to grow this much. It's like, no, this was more important to me.
Yes. So you had mentioned, I'm really intrigued by your comments about how, and it makes perfect sense, like the easy money is kind of getting just sucked out. So that, you know, what type of effect that could have on ad spend, you know, like you said, it's getting more about back to fundamentals. You know, obviously Oshii's a primarily focused on customer retention as a loyalty program. I mean, customer retention has always been super important. So are you kind of saying that that would be even more important, or money might funnel instead of on ads, it would be more like focused on the customers you already have more so, or not so much?
Yeah, I would love if there's a shift into understanding what keeps your customers around longer. It's like, it's a passion of mine. It's like something. When customers leave, they were misguided, or you misguided them on the value. They had some idea of what they were parting with their fiat or the Bitcoin, and then you gave them something. Like, they thought that they were getting something and they didn't. And to me, that's like that's such a fun problem to think about, because you're just always looking for there's just always opportunities there. It's always something to do. And if they had the intention there, then you don't have to acquire them again, which is like, you know, 8 times harder or something like that. Like, why would you want to go pay for that person again when they're just like, they're in your house? Ask them things like, focus on what's going to keep them like happier. Like, you know, there's so much, I think, untapped opportunity in people and founders just thinking about their pricing better and who their best customers are better. Like, there's certain products that I know, like, I can't really live without. And if that founder came up to me and was like, hey, look, it's not just 30% off. We did this with the half cows at KC. It was like, there's these people that will buy a whole half cow from you if you give them this kind of discount. And everybody's complaining about price, but you're giving them a way cheaper price per meal option. And some people don't have that kind of money, but our best customers do, and they want these opportunities. To me, that's like a form of retention upfront through pricing, where it's like, that's the deal you're making with them. Like, if that doesn't change and they're happy, they're going to keep buying from you, because you've aligned the value with upfront, and it's based on pricing, and they're not going to go anywhere. If you raise your prices, you have to have that conversation with them. Or if you raise your prices, you have to give them something else or an opportunity to like get more value. I do really love retention as a focus for companies. Like, I think that customer acquisition just keeps getting more and more expensive. So you have to kind of be smart about keeping the ones that you have. Another area of opportunity is like, create a referral program that's very lucrative for somebody referring a product, because they're going to refer people like them. So if you have a really, really valuable customer, I think it's smart, or, you know, something to explore. It's like, who is our most valuable customers? Let's give them this insane opportunity to refer this. A great example of this, which I hope one day they make a case study, but I have kind of have some kind of insider intel on it. I know he wouldn't care if I shared, but if you've seen Burst, the toothbrush company, Hamish, the founder there, like, he made a toothbrush when he was like 7. He was just always going to be in this industry. What they did was they went to dental hygienists and they said, let me show you why this is a superior product. And it really was. Like, you can look at what they're referring to their customers and it's like, oh, it is. And then they made an app for all these dental hygienists that shared in this like shared upside of referring the product, where it was like they gamified it. So if you had a dental hygienist in Milwaukee and they sold like 10 Burst toothbrushes, someone that was a dental hygienist in California got like an upside for that. And so they created this community of dental hygienists that were now getting like $3,000 to $5,000 a month extra by just referring these products to people. And they're crazy about it and it works. And so like, to me, that was like a much smarter way to do customer acquisition, where they're like really developing the people that refer it, and not so much like going to Facebook and like, let's make this static ad. Why isn't this converting? Like, dude, that was insane. Like, that's why those guys are so successful. That program was wildly successful, and it's because they thought about how to take care of the people that really would refer the product.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. I hope to see you at the next roundtable. And if you want the full recording of what you heard today, reach out to me and I'll let you know when it's available. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.